Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is a very special one, isn't it, Stone?
It most certainly is. It's the Tie Atlanta special. I look forward to this every few weeks or so. We always have the most passionate, knowledgeable guest. They're doing great things for the business community, and they're providing some marvelous services for the community at large. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with the CEO and co-founder of Life in the Pink, Tanya Lee. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the Executive VP with Zydexo. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Akbar Mithani.
Thank you, Stone. Thank you, Lee. Privileged to be here to join you guys. I'm the co-founder and the Executive Vice President of Zydexo. Zydexo offers full-service technology managed services and staff augmentation. So whether you're looking for short-term technology development, or if you're looking for individuals with specific technology skill sets to complete the technology solution, whether you're doing projects in-house or outsourcing, we know the businesses, and we look for those expertise that can fulfill that need.
Now, how did you get involved with TIE?
My involvement with TIE goes back to 2008. I started as a member.
Is that pre-Zydexo?
That is pre-Zydexo. That is. And then since 2010, I've been a charter member and a charter mentor. So it gives me great privilege to talk to understand, to learn new business owners, entrepreneurs, as well as startups.
So were you involved in other business associations?
I was. Well, technology is the passion. It's where I am, where I like to play. But through technology, I've been involved in education, where I have created and developed learning technical platforms that deliver content.
Mm-hmm. But so you were involved in other business associations like chambers of commerce, things like that?
Absolutely. I'm in chambers. I'm involved in very industry-specific
like
organizations.
The association for the industry.
Correct. So those that are tied with industries that I
like
normally...
Like learning.
Whether it be education, right. Whether it be, you know, telecom professionals, whether it be technology associations.
So what made you gravitate to TIE?
Well, TIE...
Because TIE makes you volunteer. You have to pay money and volunteer. Most other organizations don't make you do both. It's one or the other, usually.
Well, it's not about just paying money and of course, volunteer. It's sometimes giving back because...
That's how they frame it? That's good salesmanship there.
TIE has brought me into learning more than just the industries I participate in. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a industry-specific. So you come across entrepreneurs and startups that are in technology, that are in education, that are in automotive, that are in just a variety of spectrum. And it's sometimes very beneficial as an entrepreneur to understand how some of these industries operate and how they tie back into what you offer.
So tell us a little bit about your day job at Zydexo.
Well, it's exciting. Why? Because I'm first, I get to lead a very visionary team. This allows me to create a team-centric environment. Why? Because the importance of leading any organization is, one thing is, you're not the jack of all trades. Okay, you've got to understand where your core competency is, and you've got to allow others to be able to participate. And by leading those individuals, it allows us as the organization to grow and prosper.
So, but what's the mission and purpose? What are you guys out there doing for folks?
We're basically innovating. We're innovating technology. We provide, we're bringing in technology to automate, you know, manual procedures that companies are doing.
So what's an example of how you work with the client?
Well, there's two sides of the model. Okay, one is, let's say that the clients are looking to fill a technical need. They're saying,
like,
well,
I need a mobile app. Is that a technical?
It could be a mobile app.
Or
it could
I'm
be an
having
application.
Trouble getting data from accounting.
It could be that as well. Right now, let's say I'm the accounting guy and we're doing these manual processes. Mm-hmm. So I would actually come in as a project manager, as a team lead as well, and first understand what processes are being done manually.
So you're like standing behind the person?
In some sense, yes, that's what happens. Okay, tell me what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Exactly, do what you do every day, all day.
Right.
And let me see if I can create a more efficient procedure for you.
And what's an example of a more efficient? Can you share something in the past you've done that made something more efficient?
Well, we're right now. Let's talk about one thing that we're doing. We're doing something that we're actually giving back to a community that has a social platform, and it's basically based on those individuals coming to the community and that have socioeconomic challenges. Mm-hmm. So they're trying. For the past few years, they're putting data together on spreadsheets, on access databases, and they have no security. There's private information which involved individuals, medical and personal information. So we're going in and we're creating a relationships management application, which it has security barriers, which allows individuals to go in and enter the data and others to view data that is specific to them. So if it's an individual's educational background, domestic background, medical background, and they have a social need within the community and they're going to the community for that help, how do we go ahead and automate that process?
Now, in the healthcare realm, isn't it privacy super important?
Correct. That's why it's like a community.
You're responsible, or all the vendors are responsible.
Well,
too,
right now they don't have vendors, so they're individuals, and it's the community.
Right.
It's the individual going to the community and saying, "These are my socioeconomic challenges." Okay, whatever they may be. And the community then goes and looks within the community and who can provide and provide betterment for them.
Wow. Okay?
So we're automating that entire process of through application development.
And your backstory, how did you get started in this arena?
How did I get started?
Yeah.
It's funny. Back in, I think it was 97, okay? Finished school. Moved from Chicago to Atlanta. I was working at Computer Science Corporation as a senior engineer. And I told my father that I wanted to do something on my own. And he basically looked at me and said, "You're going to do something, you're going to do it now." Because I've had no family. I wasn't married. I didn't have kids. If I'm going to go out on a limb, I'm going to do it now. So he kind of pushed me out the door and said, "Go
great.
Do it."
So he said, "Quit your job?"
Yes,
and not so many
because
words.
I was living at home. You know, right. I didn't have to worry about anything. So he said, "Do it now before as life gets more mature, mm-hmm. You'll have less
more responsibilities,
risk tolerance."
Right.
Correct. Which here today, 18, 19 years later, I would have never done that. I've got to put food on the table. I got to pay the bills. You know, you're just not thinking that way.
So that was good advice.
Correct. And that's why it comes back to tie all these individuals that are looking at certain stage of their life mm-hmm. on when and how they should do it. You know, go back and join these platforms and understand how others have done it.
So now your father didn't have any ideas for what you should do. He just said, "Quit your job."
Well, it was me and my brother. Okay. And he said, "One of you guys need to make sure that you stayed employed." My brother was with Siemens Automation at the time, also an engineer. So he said, "Well, I think I'll keep my job. You go out."
So you had the short straw.
So I had that short straw. And in such a short period of time, things started moving so quickly.
So you didn't have a business idea?
I didn't.
So
I did.
What does A1 look like? You got to Kinko's and make business cards for what?
Anyways, well, I take that back. I did because I had that passion of technology. I wanted to teach technology.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I went out and started teaching technology courses. Some courses that I could teach myself, others I could bring on
like
professionals.
Online or in a
physical presence. I subleased a space in Norcross.
And you're like, "I'm going to teach people technology."
I taught people technology and I ran out of space in about 8 months.
So it was like a booming. People were lining up to take your classes.
Yes, they were. And
wow.
Probably between 97 and 2001, we probably have 10,000 plus graduates out there.
Wow.
That went through our program.
And then what exactly were you teaching them? What is teaching
technology?
Like coding?
We were teaching programming. We were teaching database. We were teaching infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of the, which has evolved today. Now right. you have cybersecurity involved with it. Mm-hmm. You have data warehousing or cloud computing. All that wasn't there at the time, but the application programming coding part was. The infrastructure was.
And you found an audience that was very hungry for this information.
Yes. Yes.
So you did that for a while, and then
I did that for a while. I
at
took
what
those.
Point was your brother going? Well, picked the wrong horse, you know.
About 8 months later, he had to by default be there, okay, because it was 12, 15-hour workdays.
Right.
I had to do what I needed to do operationally during the day. I was teaching at night.
Oh, so you were doing the actual
seven
teaching
days.
And yes. the operations.
Yes,
you were doing
to.
Everything.
Wow. Had to.
Wow, what a great story.
Thank you.
So then you sold that business or you moved on?
No,
to...
it evolved. It still is.
It still exists?
It's branched off in so many different ways. Education is a division. Technology is a division.
But Zydexo is a totally separate.
It was a breakout because everything today that we've done with technology, with education,
mm-hmm.
all of the application, all of the deliveries, all of the content development is what allowed Zydexo to be here today.
Now, you mentioned that Ty's influence a little bit. Now, can you talk about the pillars of Ty and where the pillar that you're involved with?
Well, the pillar I'm involved with is mentoring,
mm-hmm.
okay? Every time I go to Ty, there's individuals that have done very well for themselves. This is their fourth, fifth, sixth startup that they're working on. And then you have others that are running parallel with their day job. You know, they're those that are still trying to decide, when is a good time for me to jump over? You know, is this going to work? Is this what where I need to be? So I think the pillar that I'm most involved with is whether I'm there at Ty's doors or am outside networking with individuals who are coming to me and saying, what should I be doing at this point of my life cycle? In business.
Now, can you share, like, what does a mentor relationship look like? Is it just you on top of the mountain sharing
no.
your wisdom
no,
with
not.
People hungry for more learning?
Not at all. You learn a lot from them as well, because when you're a startup and you've been a startup, there's a lot of fundamentals that you forget. So, for example, I'll give you a prime. I was flying today with a new pilot.
Today already?
I'm
in
sorry,
the morning,
this weekend.
Or this weekend.
I'm
right.
sorry, this weekend. And he was teaching me things that he is learning today in theory, which as a seasonal pilot, you forget. You don't follow those principles.
Right.
You just get in and go.
Right.
And it works the same way with business. Startups know every aspect of what's going to make them successful. To us, as non-startups, as entrepreneurs, we're already out there running it. 100 miles
right, because running a business is different than starting
that
a business,
is correct.
Right?
So, you know, it's not about me being on top of the pyramid. It's more about a consensus. Here is what my insight is. This is what my experience allows me to share with you. Now, at the same time, they may come back and tell me that something different has worked for them versus what I've experienced in my life cycle of the business. So it's not always giving. It's sometimes also receiving.
So now at Ty, how do they help create these mentorship moments and these opportunities for the entrepreneur and for the mentors?
It's very personalized. So the Ty organization will know who you should be speaking to,
mm-hmm.
whether it's at my stage and I'll be speaking to colleagues, or whether it be an individual at a startup stage. That individual may get recommended to come speak to me or another entrepreneurship mm-hmm. because of the background that we may have. Now, if someone's starting up in oil and gas, I may not have the opportunity to speak with them because that's not my background.
Right.
But some startup that has some relationship to what I've done in the past and Ty understands what your background is, they provide that link.
So they're the matchmaker?
Basically.
So if you had the opportunity... And you do, to counsel other entrepreneurs, either here in the Atlanta area or what? There's like 60-something chapters. I mean, it's all over the place, right?
Ty?
Yeah.
All over the
world.
Country. All over the world.
All over the world. So if you had a chance to talk to some of those entrepreneurs about getting involved in Ty and how to really make the most out of it, what are some things you might share with them?
The number one thing is business is global now. So it's not Atlanta. It's not the U.S., It's not North America. It is a global business. And I am a prime example from where I've come from. I can reach out. I can go to Asia, and I can look up Thai chapter or Thai charter members and reach out to them. And
Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have. Nice. I've done that in Asia.
Really?
I've reached out. I'm coming out here.
A complete stranger.
You're not a stranger right. anymore. You're in the community. So he's going to reach out and say, hey, yeah, you know what? I'll pick you up at the airport.
Yeah,
and
he picks you up at the airport.
I mean, it's just, it's an automatic relationship when you have that connection. Okay?
I mean, picking up at the airport.
Some stranger coming from a different country.
I don't do that for my wife. I'm like, get a car.
He's like, have you heard of Uber?
So, you know, you get to learn about what's happening in that country from another entrepreneurship
right.
viewpoint.
And he's open to sharing. And he,
absolutely.
Because he knows that he can call you now yep. at the Atlanta airport.
Yes, you're right.
You owe him one.
No, that is fantastic, though. You just have this instant network of like-minded people yep. that are they're going to help you because you're in the club.
Correct.
Wow. Very nice. Okay. Where can our listeners go to learn more about Zydexo and have a meaningful conversation with you about that? Or if they just want to check in with you and maybe get some insight on Thai, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Reach me on LinkedIn. Tweet me. I'm accessible. I'm always there. I'm always available. Reach out to the office, and we're there to provide you whatever guidance you may need. Whether it's company-related or not, you just want to go have lunch and talk about your next great idea, I'm there.
So that's Zydexo.com, Zydexo.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you, Lee.
So you're going to hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
I'll be here.
All right. Fantastic. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us CEO and co-founder of Life in the Pink. Please join me in welcoming to the program Miss Tanya Lee. How you doing?
I'm good, Stone and Lee. Thanks for having me today.
So what did you learn in that last segment?
Well, I actually...
need a ride to the airport.
I do need it. I have a worldwide ride to the airport now. No, I think a lot of the things that Akbar said were completely on point for me in my experience on the other side of it, starting in TIEX, the accelerator program, which begins even through and takes new business owners through the ideation stage and through the development of your company. And I really have been on the beneficial side of that as I started my business, Life in the Pink, which is a medical garment manufacturing company specializing in post-surgical drain management garments.
So you were a TIEX participant?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we started, Life in the Pink started pretty early on, probably about 6-7 months after the founding of our company. We started the TIEX program.
So were you aware of TIEX prior to founding the company?
No, actually we weren't. After we founded the company, I had a friend of mine who suggested going to different Thai networking events.
Were you familiar with Thai as a business organization?
Not at all. And at first, I think one of the things that Akbar pointed out, which was extremely good for people to know, is that Thai is not just an organization for technology companies.
Right.
We were a medical garment manufacturer.
Right.
And so when somebody thinks of Thai, they don't automatically think, well, this may be good if I'm in real estate, or this may be good if I'm in the medical field, or something other than technology. But Thai, especially Thai Atlanta, goes out of their way to include many different types of organizations. And the benefit of that is that you see organizations that are completely different in yours, in their goal and what their focus is, but there are synchronicities and similarities and the different things that you have to go through in starting a business that are the same for
right. They're kind of universal
business, right? And our when we went through the TIEX program, we were assigned a mentor to go through that program with us. Our mentor happened to be a man named Jim Kelly, who was instrumental in the initial phases of Research in Motion and the development of the BlackBerry. So he came from a completely different background than we did.
So did you think, oh, great, what does this guy know about my
No, business? I thought, oh, great.
So you were happy about
this
that.
Man, this man knows something about what he's talking about in building a business.
But how is he going to help you make a garment?
Well, it's not about him.
Down.
Yeah, it's not about him helping me make a garment. What it was is how to develop my business in the most strategic way and position my business in a way that I can make a garment. Mm-hmm. And that's what the ideation phase is, and that's what TIE-X takes you through the different phases so that you can build your business on a strong platform. That universal platform so that you can position yourself in the strongest way possible.
Now, do you feel that you had any challenges being a female entrepreneur in this kind of environment?
Well,
was that a benefit or detriment or neutral?
As a female entrepreneur, you kind of get, as it is this morning, you kind of get used to being the only woman in the room. Mm-hmm. But the benefits, I think there are several challenges across the board for female entrepreneurs. And I think some of those are external challenges, and I also think some of those are internal challenges. The external challenges being that, and this is not an insult, guys, but the VCs, the angel investors, and a lot of banks, they're a male-dominated field. And that's okay. That's great. But as a woman, as a female entrepreneur, sometimes that can either be intimidating, overwhelming, or sometimes you don't make the connection. And some of the internal challenges are that as I go out, and I do strategic consulting a lot as well, and talking to female entrepreneurs and women's groups, we do have an internal challenge as women. This is not exclusive to women particularly, but overwhelmingly when I talk to women in business or just starting a business or are several years into their business, they have a mindset where they think of their business as their baby. And that's understandable that they think of it that way. And like I said, it's not exclusive to women. A lot of men think of that as well too, but I do find it as I talk to female entrepreneurs that they view their business as their baby. It's understandable. You birth a baby as you do a business. You sacrifice for it. You nurture it. You grow it.
You usually don't sell it at the end of the day.
although some parents around 5 or 7 years might want to go to the highest bidder, but that's exactly my point. Seeing your business as a baby is It's fine, but it also has some limiting factors in that you kind of pigeonhole yourself and to a smaller scope of thinking. One of the things that TIE Atlanta does, and also one of the things that I try to do when I talk to female entrepreneurs, is to expand that mindset. Expand that mindset to a larger growth. And instead of seeing your business so much as a baby, see your business as very much a map. You've got your starting point and you've got your destination. And this is what I teach. I call it the art of the exit strategy. And a lot of women don't go into business thinking of the exit strategy first.
So you think it's important to have an exit strategy as you begin the business?
Absolutely. I think it's important to know. It's like I said, it's very much like a map. You have your starting point and you have your destination. Mm-hmm. If I get in my car and I start driving and I don't have a destination, all I'm going to do is waste my time and a lot of money on gas. I may enjoy the view, I may enjoy the ride, but it's going to take a lot out of me for no particular reason. If I start my journey knowing I'm starting in Atlanta and I want to go to Charlotte, North Carolina, then I know where I'm starting, I know where I'm finishing, and I can plot my course that way. And if I want to, let's say I want to go the express route, so I go the highways. In business, your express route, maybe I want to sell my business in a certain number of years, so I know how to do my strategic marketing, my strategic planning, my fundraising, my scaling on a very aggressive path. Or maybe I want to take the back roads, and my exit strategy is not to sell in a couple of years, but to build a business, to build a company that in 15, 20 years or more, I can retire, leave a legacy for my family, or however that exit strategy
is going
to be.
So that would be a different strategy altogether, right?
Yeah, and then you take your back roads. You don't have to be as aggressive in your strategies and in your planning. Right. But if you have your end goal in mind and you know what your destination is, whether that is building a legacy for yourself or setting your positioning your company for acquisition within a certain period of time, then you know where you're going. You know where your starting point is. You know how to map your plan, and you know where your exit strategy is and your destination. And I think that's one of the internal challenges that a lot of women in business have, that they go into it thinking, I want to build a business. This business means a great deal to me, whether it's a product that they've developed, whether it's a store that they're opening, or whatever it may be that their business wraps around, that they really don't have that destination in mind.
Do you find that a lot of women business owners are just have like kind of a job, like it's a job, not really a business? Like they're so intimately involved in the execution and the delivery of the service that it isn't truly a business, more like a practice.
Well, let me frame that a different way. Sometimes women, and I don't think necessarily this is a male or female thing. I think that can be,
or maybe the people who think of it in too small of a term.
Right. And I think a lot of times women are get into lifestyle businesses. Right. Where they have their own company, but they're exclusively selling a third-party product, and we want to encourage women to think larger than that. Mm-hmm. That we do have the ability to build strong plans, to build strong businesses, and Georgia, Atlanta specifically, has been very, very generous in the way that they have set up their incentives for women-owned businesses. Helping us scale them, providing services for us that really encourage women expounding on their general ideas, their general products or services or brick-and-mortar stores, online stores.
Now, are you involved in women's organizations? Are there women's entrepreneurial organizations or business organizations that you're involved with?
There are, and Ty is also very good at supporting women. One of the experiences that I had with Ty that was instrumental in Life in the Pink was a forum that they hosted on women in business. And out of that forum, I met a woman who's become a fantastic mentor to me and a great help. Her name is Genevieve Boss. And we talked to her, and our product, our launch product, is actually a post-surgical mastectomy garment with Life in the Pink, and she felt a connection to that product and said, here, you need to call this person. And she gave us a card, and he turned out to be our manufacturer and our liaison with overseas manufacturing.
Wow. Nice. So that was a game-changing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely. And that all happened, in one meeting. And then from then on, she's been a fantastic mentor to Life in the Pink and to me specifically. So the connections that you make with Ty are incredible. Also, Startup Chicks is an organization in Atlanta that focuses on female entrepreneurs.
And not just technology, or is it primarily?
No, Startup Chicks is all types of businesses, not just technology. And it is really a fantastic organization in helping women from the ideation stage to the development of the business and the plan.
So what was it like to go, you said you had founded the company and you were, I'm assuming, working on the company, things were going fine, months one, two, three, and you're like, hey, you know what, maybe we should check out this TIEX and really kind of, I guess, was it a pausing and then kind of going through the process, or you just felt it was part of the growth of the company?
No, for us it was very organic. Like I said, we started relatively early in our business, and our business was founded after my business partner Suzette Bryan and I we designed a product through her experience, and the post-mastectomy product was out of her experience. She
were you working another job?
Were you both
working somewhere else, and yes. then you were doing this kind of on the side?
Yeah, and so out of my experience with product development, organizational development, and through her experience going through breast cancer, we got together and created this product, and it was just after we had done some testing on the product, gotten some input from doctors, mastectomy patients, mastectomy fitters, and really developed our product into something that we were ready to manufacture from the design standpoint, that's when we thought, you know what, we need to start making some really serious connections here because...
Were you getting traction? You were getting a lot of people were giving you good positive feedback.
Oh, absolutely.
Thought, so you were like, hey, we're on to we something.
Yeah, we knew that this product was a very special product in a very underserved field. And there are a lot of, there are some post-mastectomy drain management garments out there, but there was nothing for the shower that we knew of at that time. So and after speaking to doctors and patients and the mastectomy fitters, we knew that we had a product that was going to be accepted very well mm-hmm. in the field. So we didn't have any hesitation in what our product had to offer in the field it had to offer. But what we needed was a few connections to understand, okay, well, we're going to need this amount of funding.
So you were bootstrapping all of this?
We bootstrapped until about a year and a half into it. So we
then you got an investor.
Then we got investors and different people on board and the, you know that's
did Ty help in that area?
Absolutely, absolutely. Just about every positive move that we have made in our company has been directly or indirectly impacted by Ty.
I hope so they recorded that.
Yeah, no kidding. How's that for an endorsement? We're going to carve that out and put it in a bottle and sell it to them. Wow, what an endorsement. That's fantastic. Who buys the product? Doctors, hospitals, clinics? Who's
the
buyer?
Or the patient?
Yes, it is both a B2B and a B2C company. Oh, okay. So it is hospitals. Doctors' offices, if they have a small boutique, or if they do provide different products to patients, and also direct to customer through our online store at lifeinthepink.com.
So before we wrap, I want to hear about the relationship with Oxford. I sent my kid to an accelerated semester at Oxford. I realize that's different than your involvement, but I'd like to hear a little bit about it because you're very involved with this outfit. Yeah,
Oxford University.
Yeah,
yes, I am a member of the Oxford Roundtable in Oxford, England, and it's just a bunch of people who think they're a little bit smarter than they really are that get together and talk about different things going on in the world and how it impacts them. I've been fortunate enough to talk to on different topics from tolerance to women's impact in countries that are emerging in women's issues. So that's been I've been a member since 2010. So it is something that I look forward to every year.
So you're involved in global women's issues?
Global women's issues, yeah.
Is it only entrepreneurial or just in general?
No, the subjects range from women in education to women in business to women in lower socioeconomic levels, how we as a community, a global community of women can raise other women up to be able to stand on their own in countries where there's a little bit more oppression than we are blessed not to have in this country.
Are there any statistics showing that a woman that chooses a path in business or entrepreneurialism has a greater impact in the community, or is there anything like that?
Well, I wouldn't know the specific statistics on that, but I think it's kind of intrinsic. If there are women who rise to the level of leadership in any community, whether it be in the U.S. or globally, that other girls will see their potential. Also, it changes the way little boys look at women as well. Mm-hmm. So it the impact has to be intrinsic. And once we start in our own backyard, encouraging little girls and women to think, not think of business on a small scale, but really think of growing their business into a multi-million-dollar business and following a map scaling process in their business, and then we can truly start changing the way that women view themselves in business, and the young men that come up, the way they view women in business as well. So I think they're both equally important.
Well, and back to a point that I think Akbar made very well in his segment, in his mentoring relationships, that exchange is two-way. I know you share your information and your insight with the folks at Oxford and with these, but you also are, you're learning stuff every day that you can turn back around and share, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, the TIEX program, it has been extremely, I cannot say enough how beneficial it's been for me. And Akbar is right. You also, you learn from so many different people and so many different businesses, and that is that's not something you could put a measure on. And it's also my my joy to be gearing up to do some of the mentoring myself now. So it's my turn to give back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, where should they go? Website again?
The website for Life in the Pink is lifeinthepink.com, and you can get a little bit more information on there, or connect with me on LinkedIn, Tanya Lee, and I'll certainly answer any questions or give any information and be as helpful as I can to anyone.
Now, do either of you remember the Thai website?
ThaiAtlanta.org.
And is it Thai-Atlanta or Thai Atlanta? They'll find it, I'm sure, in Google.
I think it's a hyphen.
And is there any events or anything coming up? I know they have a monthly meeting at the Sheraton in Sandy Springs. If you go to the website, I think it's Thai-Atlanta.org, you can probably sign up and attend those meetings. I don't know if either of you have a chance to go. There are a tremendous amount of information on all kinds of subjects. And yeah. I think mentorship is the subject for this upcoming meeting.
Yeah, and like I said, it was one of those meetings where I met Genevieve Boss, and so I can't encourage people enough to attend these meetings, to especially women in business, the networking, the meeting of people in and out of your own vocation and your focus is amazing.
Good stuff. Well, thank you both for being part of the show today.
Thank you.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.